Ezekiel chapter 27 tonight. This is the lamentation of Tyre, chapter 27 is. In chapter 26, he began speaking about Tyre. Talks about how the judgment's going to come upon them. Many nations would come up against them. Chapter 27 is the lamentation for Tyre. And he began by talking about the grandeur of Tyre. And he's still kind of doing that. He's going to focus on those who they dealt with, the business partners, if you would, of Tyre. As you dive into these things and you study them, you get a better sense of just how grand it was. I was talking with Priscilla yesterday. She was talking about having a better understanding of even Solomon's reign and all of the things that are, that how grand it was. When you look at the details, it brings out passages like Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field. And he's saying that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them. And if he cares for the lilies, he'll care for you. It magnifies those when you understand some of the background. Now, as we come here, we looked at their shipbuilding and what their ships were made of, and the different countries and peoples that supported them and were part of the personnel of their navy, their merchants, their army. And so this evening, verses 12 through 26 or 24, we'll look at the business partners of Tyre. And it begins off in verse 12, Tarshish was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of all kind of riches, with silver, iron, tin, lead, they traded in thy fairs. And I think maybe before we just jump right in, let me back up a little bit, where he says in verse 3, and say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situate at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles, thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. Thy borders are in the midst of the seas. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all thy shipboards of fir trees of Senir. They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for thee. Of the oaks of Bashan have they made thine oars. The company of the Asherites have made thy benches of ivory, brought out of the isles of Kittim. Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail. Blue and purple from the isles of Elisha was that which covered thee. The inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were thy mariners. Thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee were thy pilots. The ancients of Gebal and wise men thereof were in thee, thy caulkers. All the ships of the sea with their mariners were in thee to occupy thy merchandise. They of Persia and of Lud and of Phut were in thine army. Thy men of war, they hang the shield. They were in thine army, thy men of war. They hang the shield and helmet in thee. They set forth thy comeliness. The men of Arvad with thine army were upon thy walls round about, and the Gamadims were in thy towers. They hanged their shields upon thy walls round about. They have made thy beauty perfect. Last week we looked at those things and went to some of the words behind them. I think it's verse 8, talks about the Zidonians and those of Arvad were thy mariners. And I believe it was the idea of those who row, the ones who rowed the boats. It says the wise men, they were the men that were not rowing, but doing the other jobs, like the sailors. And then you had the ancients of Gebal, they were the caulkers. They were the ones who were plugging up the breaches. They were repairing the ships. And we saw Gebal was just a little further north of Tyre. So now in verse 12, he talks about those who they did business with. He says, Tarshish was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of all kind of riches, with silver, iron, tin, and lead they traded in thy fairs. Tarshish. Does that, when you hear the word Tarshish, what do you think? What Bible story do you think of? You think of Jonah, right? Tarshish. He went to Tarshish, paid the fare thereof. A word about Tarshish. Tarshish was a son of Javan, or Yawan, who was the son of Japheth, okay? Now, Yawan, he's where we get the Greeks, the Ionians. And Tarshish was one of the sons. There were many of the sons there. And they dwelled in their nations and cities were in the Mediterranean region, up more towards Europe. And so Tarshish was one of them. He was the one who inhabited the coasts in the Mediterranean Sea. This word also, this same word refers to the beryl. It's called the beryl stone, perhaps the yellow jasper stone. And it's used that way in Scripture as well, especially when you're talking about the priests and the different things in the Pentateuch. There's some other mentions of Tarshish. Solomon. Now Solomon, he was king. Anybody know roughly when his dates were? When did he begin to be king? Do you remember? Remember when David was king? These are good dates to have in your mind. David, 1010 is when he began, 1010 BC. And Solomon would be 970 BC. And most everyone agrees, that doesn't mean it's accurate, but most everyone agrees, 970 BC. And 966 is when the temple was built. But Solomon, he's around 970 BC. It says he had ships of Tarshish. 1 Kings 10:22, ships of Tarshish. In the parallel passage in 2 Chronicles 9:21, it says that going to Tarshish one every 3 years. So he had ships going to Tarshish every 3 years, and ships of Tarshish, which is interesting. And it says about these accounts with Solomon that they brought back. Okay, this is interesting. They brought back, what did they bring back? Ivory, apes, and peacocks. Now, where do you find ivory, apes, and peacocks? Because you don't just find them anywhere. These probably came from sub-Sahara Africa, which is interesting. Jehoshaphat as well, he made ships. It says ships of Tarshish. Now, sometimes it says ships of Tarshish. The Jewish encyclopedia says that doesn't mean they came from Tarshish. It means they were the ships that Tarshish builds, those kind of ships. Meaning, like, you ever use a skill saw? What's a skill saw, right? You ever use a skill saw? It's a circular saw, but we call it a skill saw, but skill is not really what it is. Skill's a brand name. You ever grab a pair of channel locks? Those are slip lock pliers, but I call them channel locks, but channel locks is a brand name. The name becomes the identification. If you get a cut on your finger, what do you put on it? Put a Band-Aid. But Band-Aid is not what it is. Band-Aid's a brand name. And because the brand name has become synonymous with what the object is, now we call it by the brand name. And okay, so what I'm getting at here is these people of Tarshish, they were accustomed to traveling far distances. And so when you have a ship that can travel far distances, you build it in that same style. It's a ship of Tarshish. And I believe that that is true. By the way, talking about Tarshish, it's not a scriptural idea that Columbus was the first person to the Americas, right? We all understand that. Columbus was not the first person to Americas. Who was the first person? Was it the Vikings? That's what the other people say. No, it wasn't the Vikings either. That's not accurate. By the way, there's evidence that those of Carthage. Now, I have this map back here. Now, it doesn't have Carthage labeled. Carthage would, you see, way over here towards the west, there's a little jut out of land. Right here at the bottom, you keep going up there. Carthage would be right in there. Famous city. Secular historians, they say it probably was founded around the 800s BC. Well, It's very interesting. There's evidence that those of Carthage traveled very far distances. It's evidence that they traveled down the coast of Africa. And in fact, there's evidence for them in a lot of different places. Even evidence that they traveled to America long, long time ago. It was proven that a trip could have happened across the Atlantic with the boats that we know that they had. There's a man named Philip Beale. Back in 2008, 2010, in that time, he did an experiment. He built a boat. He was in the Royal Navy. And he's an explorer. He's a sailor. He's very well experienced historian. And he built this ship after the pattern that they found. And so they did the experiment that they could take this ship down through Africa. And they did. And then also he believed, because Herodotus, the historian, says that the Phoenicians got over this way towards America. And people just said, well, it's not true. And then other people that calculated the size of the earth back in the Greeks, they calculated accurately to, I think it's like 1 or 2% error. So they were very close in accurately understanding. People knew that the earth was bigger than what everybody says that they knew. people knew about this. And so there's evidence that the Phoenicians got over there. I want to study more about Philip Bill. He's got some books. But also others. By the way, it took him about 5 months to get there, which is interesting. Solomon, he got from Tarshish, he got the ivory, the apes, and the peacocks once every 3 years. You can go pretty far in 3 years' time. A year and a half, because you got to get back. And they probably didn't take a year and a half to go where they were going. But you get the idea. You can cross the ocean going in 5 months. And he was on a smaller ship. Very interesting. There's a lot of interesting things. I believe it was Cyrus Gordon. More information I'd like to study. But he believes as well, and he shows evidence that the Phoenicians got much of their supply from America. And there are many ancient mounds. Maybe you've heard of the mounds up and down the Mississippi River. And he believes, because there's Phoenician symbols and things like that, that they're the ones that lived on these ancient mounds. There are many ancient mounds there. But again, simply the fact that there are many people already here in America, we already know, okay, somebody they had to travel here, because we believe the Bible. We believe that everyone died in the flood except for Abraham and his three sons and their families. And so they had to get here somehow. They had to get here some way. And many believe they came over through the Bering Strait of Alaska. There's a man named Nathaniel Jeanson. You've probably heard of him. He's with Answers in Genesis. He's a geneticist. He's written two books that I know of. I don't think he's written a third one yet. Still studying. And I highly recommend them. One is called Traced. And if you like genetics, that one is heavy in genetics. He's got a lot of graphs and a lot of things in the back of the book as well. He also has They Had Names. That's a book about the genetics of the Americas. We don't know much about the Americas, but he uses genetics to trace it back. And he has shown the evidence that through genetics that say, for instance, like, well, different people groups that are related to other people groups, that the Mongolians probably came over and conquered many of the peoples here. There's a vast history here in the Americas that is unknown. But evidence is being slowly rediscovered and uncovered again. And so there's a lot of information there, which is interesting. But people were not ignorant. I am convinced people were not ignorant about the Americas. Maybe some people were, but by and large, many people were not. And so those of Tarshish, apparently, they traveled. They had ships that would travel far. They went far and they got exotic things and they were able to bring them back. No one's convinced. I say no one's convinced. The location is not known, but it may very well have been located in Carthage. perhaps, some people think. Many believe it was off the coast of Spain as well. There's not enough evidence that's been presented to convince a majority of people, it seems, of the location. But they're merchant. They're going around once from many of the entirety of wealth, literally, he says back here. These people of Tarshish, what did they give? It says silver, in iron, in tin, and in lead. So they're getting all of these materials from those of Tarshish. Silver, iron, tin, and lead. Then you have in verse 13, Javan, or Yawan, Tubal, and Meshach. They were thy merchants. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in thy market. So, very interesting. Yawan, Tubal, Meshach. These were the sons of Japheth. So you have three sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, Japheth. Well, Japhan had some sons. Among them were Javan, Tubal, and Meshach. Now, I have this picture up here. This comes from Zondervan's Atlas of the Bible. And you can get a free PDF download online under the Creative Commons. And I recommend the book. It's a good book. So if you look up here, over in Turkey area, right up there, you'll see Meshach, Tubal, and Yavin is over here to the west, where Greece is. This is Greece over here. You have the Aegean Sea, and then you have Turkey area. And so you have Yavin, Meshach, Tubal, general regions of where they lived. And he's mentioning that these are people that they did business with as well. And what did they get from them? It says they got, literally, they got soul of man. So they're buying people, slaves, must be. Vessels of bronze or copper. So they're getting different materials from these different places. The next one in verse 14, he says, they of the house of Togarmah, traded in thy fairs with horses and horsemen and mules. So these, this Togarmah, they were the children of Gomer, who was the firstborn, I believe the firstborn, of Japheth. So you have Shem, Ham, Japheth. And among them, you had those that we mentioned before. You had Yawan, Tubal, Meshach. But also, you have this man named Gomer. And Gomer had some sons, and one of them was Togarmah. Togarmah. Again, he probably was in the Turkey region as well, and you can see that on the map. If you look up there, just in the north, going to the east there, Togarmah. So all these different regions where these families lived. And he says that their wares were horses and these horsemen or riders and mules. So think about this. I mean, if you were to live right now, imagine electricity's gone, right? What do you have? I mean, the stores aren't operating either as usual because they don't have electricity. If you were to go take the time back, what would America really have? You'd have to have a lot of shipping. You'd have to do a lot of trading. There are a lot of things not native. You pick up any item and you say, you know, where did the stuff come from to make this? And you have to say, well, you know, it came from here and came from here. And so much came from all around the world. We couldn't make what we have without trading in so many ways. And this is huge back then, especially. They're having silver, iron, tin, lead, copper. They're having servants. They're having horses, riders, mules. Also in Dedan, he says in verse 15, the men of Dedan were thy merchants. Many isles were the merchandise of thine hand. They brought thee for a present horns of ivory and ebony. So also this ivory from Dedan. Now, Dedan, these are people of Ham, and then Cush, and then Raama. Then you have Dedan. So they're of the family of Ham. And it doesn't just say Dedan. It says the men of Dedan, literally the sons of Dedan. And what did they bring? Horns of ivory and ebony. So ebony, what is ebony? Ebony, I believe, is a tree. And in the inside of it, it's black, very dark, very hard. In fact, some species, they will sink in the water. I guess traditional, old-fashioned chess sets, for instance, were made of ivory, the white, and the black pieces were made of ebony. And you can buy them today. I saw one online. You can buy a set of those without a chessboard for like $10,000, made from tusks of mammoths 40,000 years old or something. $10,000 if you want it, and made from ebony, carved out. Anyhow, I won't be buying anything like that. But these are very expensive things and very perhaps exotic, I mean, to much of the world. Then you have Aram. Verse 16 says, Syria was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of the wares of thy making. They occupied in thy fairs with emeralds, purple, embroidered work, and fine linen, and coral, and agate. So, this Syria literally is Aram, and so these people lived, they were the son of Shem, and they lived in modern-day Syria area. And what did they give? They gave emeralds, they gave purple, it says broidered work, often translated that way, it's this multicolored garments, variegated stuff, this fine linen, which is interesting. It says also corals, which is interesting, corals. And then the last word is agate, and also some believe that to be rubies. Some of these stones, it's hard to be dogmatic on what they actually are. And the word corals as well, not everyone, some people are doubtful that it means corals that we think of in the sea. By the way, where is Syria? Is Syria on the coast? Is Syria in the sea? You have Lebanon that's up by them there. It's kind of maybe a little strange, possible, but the word is the idea of something that's exalted, something that's high. And my understanding is how it relates to corals is that these particular corals that they would get underwater would be like on a cave or something, and they would grow down, but they would be up at the top of these kind of reefs or caves that would come down. Anyhow, there's so much as you go through these things. And the interesting thing is, as you study Ezekiel, there are so many words that are used in Ezekiel, and it's only used one time, and it's in this passage. And it's very hard to sometimes to nail down exactly what they're saying. But all of these different items, there are a lot of precious stones. I think even today you can find a lot of precious stones in Syria. Then you have Judah and the land of Israel in verse 17. Judah and the land of Israel, they were thy merchants. They traded in thy market wheat of Minnith and Panag and honey and oil and balm. So, wheat of Minnith. It's an unknown location. The exact location is unknown. It's used in the story with, in the Judges, with Japheth. Japheth. Not Japheth. What was that man's name? It'll come to me. He lived over in Gilead, and he fought with them over there on that side, and is referencing that area over there on the Transjordan side of Israel. So over on the eastern side of Israel, across the Jordan River, that's where Minnith was. Minnith. What is this? Let's see. There was wheat from this place. And then there's this other word that's transliterated, not translated. It's another difficult word. Panag. It's not a location. It's perhaps related to the idea of something that's delicate. Maybe it's the idea of a delicate spice or gum or ointment or something. Not really sure what that is at this time, anyhow. Then there's honey and oil and balm. All of these different things from the land of Judah that they traded with. Then there was Damascus in 18. Damascus was thy merchant in the multitude of thy wares, of thy making, for the multitude of all riches in the wine of Helbon and white wool. So Damascus, the capital of Aram of Syria, in the wine of Helbon. Now, that's perhaps Helbon today. It's north of Damascus, I think about 12 miles or so north of Damascus. And it also talks about not just the wine, but they got the white wool from Damascus. And then we're in verse 19, he talks about Dan. Dan also and Javan, going to and fro, occupied in thy fairs, bright iron, cassia, and calamus were in thy market. This is interesting, Dan, because what the word actually is, it's not just regular word Dan, but it has the wow in front of it. And so it probably has the idea of, people would say Vendan. Vendan, we would say Wadan. Wadan, which is interesting. Wadan and Yawin. Again, not a little unsure about these, but their wares were shining iron and this cassia. Cassia is, I believe, related to cinnamon. And this idea here, he says, of calamus, which is some sort of cane or stalk or cane of some kind that they traded with. And then in verse 20, you have Dedan. It's interesting, if you go back up to 15, it says the men of Dedan. And then in 20, it says Dedan, which is interesting. Men of Dedan, literally it's the sons of Dedan. Dedan, so in garments, literally in garments of stripping of to a rider, which is interesting. Probably these items here that they're talking about in Dedan, the merchant in precious clothes for chariots. It's something that you would strip off. Has the idea of stripping off clothes of some kind. Well, this item, it says it's for, or it's to, a rider. A rider. So you might think of it like a something you would use for a saddle, or something, a saddle blanket, a blanket of some kind that you put on for riding. And so that you would strip off. It wouldn't stay on there. Then you have Arabia and all Kedar. Verse 21, Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they occupied with thee in lambs and rams and goats, and these were thy merchants. So these people in Arabia and Kedar, Kedar was a son of Ishmael, who was the son of Abraham. And where is this? Someplace, it's someplace in Arabia where Kedar would be. Probably a nomadic people, but they lived in Arabia somewhere in here. Okay. And I didn't mention Dedan would be in this region, as it's pointed out already here. We know where Aram is. It's up there in Syria region. I don't know if there's any other places I didn't point out, but you can see them there. And he says here that these people in this Arabia region of Kedar and Arabia, they brought sheep, they brought rams, they brought goats, which is a common thing that nomadic people, they would have. If you look at the next verse, verse 22, he says, the merchants of Sheba and Ra'amah, they were thy merchants. They occupied in the fairs with chief of all spices and with all precious stones and gold. You have Sheba and Ra'amah. They are the sons of Ham. So you have Ham, Shem, Ham, Japheth. So you have Ham, then you have Cush, and then you have Sheba. Is that right? No. You have Ham, Cush, and then you have Ra'amah. Ra'amah would be the son of Cush. And then the son of Ra'amah is Sheba. And so he's talking about Sheba and his father Ra'amah. Obviously not the men themselves, but the people that came of these men. Their location would be south of Saudi Arabia area. So probably down in here, you see Ra'amah and Sheba, probably right in here in this region. And what did they bring? The chief of the spices, entirety of precious stone and gold, all of those things. The last in our list here, verse 23. Haran and Kaneh and Eden, the merchants of Sheba, Asher, and Chilmad were thy merchants. Who are these people? Haran. Haran was the name of Abraham's brother. And in fact, when he was on his way, he left Ur of the Chaldees and they went to Haran. And they stayed there for a while. Haran would be up in the north, up by the Euphrates River, I believe. It's up at least in that region up there. And so would these other people. Kaneh, probably related to Kalneh, which is mentioned twice in Scripture. Up in that region, you have Eden, you have Sheba, you have Asher. Asher would be the Assyrians. Again, the Assyrian, you can see it up there in that dark green. Asher is up there by the rivers. You have Chilmad. All of these seem to be in the Mesopotamia region up there. And you look at their wares, it says in verse 24, these were thy merchants in all sort of things, in blue clothes, embroidered work, and in chests of rich apparel, bound with cords and made of cedar among thy merchandise. So a lot of stuff. The Lord, in his perfect wisdom, decided to give us all of that information. It's very interesting to think about where these things came from. And also, by the way, if you can go and verify these things, it just lends even more and more credibility to the Scriptures in the eyes of those who perhaps might scoff. For instance, they didn't believe the Hittites existed for a long time. Then they found, oh, there are Hittites. But all that to say is all of these things, this is the glory, the grandeur of Tyre. This is a huge deal to everybody. What if the trucking industries, they were destroyed tonight? What would happen to America? You would not be eating very long, probably, until you had to go do some serious searching for food. It would be a crisis. It would be a crisis. And it's going to be a crisis. This is a lamentation for the trucking, the shipping industry of much of the world. They're doing all this trading with all these people. And they're able to supply to all these people. And God is going to allow them to be destroyed. And that's what this lamentation is all about. And that's where we get into that next part. In verse 25, he says, the ships of Tarshish did sing of thee in thy market, and thou wast replenished and made very glorious in the midst of the seas. Thy rowers have brought thee into great waters. The east wind hath broken thee in the midst of the seas. He says, thy riches and thy fares, thy merchandise, thy mariners and thy pilots, thy caulkers and thy occupiers of thy merchandise, and all thy men of war that are in thee, and all thy company which is in the midst of thee, shall fall into the midst of the seas in the day of thy ruin. The suburbs shall shake at the sound of the cry of thy pilots. And all that handle the oar, the mariners and all the pilots of the sea shall come down from their ships. They shall stand upon the land, and they shall cause their voice to be heard against thee, and shall cry bitterly, and shall cast up dust upon their heads. They shall wallow themselves in the ashes, and they shall make themselves utterly bald for thee, and gird them with sackcloth, and they shall weep for thee with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And in their wailing, they shall take up a lamentation for thee and lament over thee, saying, what city is like Tyrus, like the destroyed in the midst of the sea? When thy wares went forth out of the seas, thou filledest many people. Thou didst enrich the kings of the earth with the multitude of thy riches and of thy merchandise. In the time when thou shalt be broken by the seas, in the depths of the waters, thy merchandise and all thy company in the midst of thee shall fall. All the inhabitants of the isles shall be astonished at thee, and their king shall be sore afraid. They shall be troubled in their countenance. The merchants among the people shall hiss at thee. Thou shalt be a terror and never shalt be any more. We'll look at this latter part more next week. But really, take some time to think about this. This is not a little thing. Again, if you put it in modern terms, if something major like that, I mean, we saw just a little slowing down of a few ships for a little bit of time, a few months. But can you imagine that which ships everything to us being taken down? That would be huge. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that we can study these things, that you've given them to us, and it seems that we've just touched the surface of these things that you've given to us. I pray you'd help each one to remember to value this, and that you'd give us strength in these things, and that we'd be able to correlate these things with the other scriptures, and then also to be able to understand who you are and what you've done and what you'll do today in our own life and to the people that we know, so that we can accurately represent you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.